He is for all, and I'm always thankful to be able to stand before you and present the gospel message. It's so good to see you all back here tonight and to come together and to worship the Lord, to edify one another. And let's go together in the study of God's Word. You can, if you want to, go ahead and turn over to Romans. I think that's where our first passage will be from. We'll look at a few passages from Romans, but several different passages in our study tonight. Let's see. Okay. You might recall that in the first part of this series, we talked about how a change of heart takes place when someone decides to become a Christian and submitting to the Lord. There's a change of thinking that occurs, which is what we primarily covered in that first lesson. And transformation is begun, where once carnal or worldly thoughts filled our minds before submitting to the Lord, spiritual thoughts and the Lord's will must now guide us. We understand that our focus should not be, our focus should not be on this physical world, but on spiritual things. Christ must live in me and I in Him. I must begin to walk in newness of life, being dead to sin and the evil desires of the world. So changing our thinking, which is what we talked about last time, is the key to changing how we live. And that's what this lesson is going to be about, changing how we live. If we don't change our thinking to be in harmony with Christ's thinking, then our lives won't show it. As we'll see in part 3, neither will our worship. The multitude on the day of Pentecost was cut to the heart. When Peter preached the gospel to them, they asked, "What shall we do?" Peter told them to repent, be baptized. That's in Acts 2, 37 and 38. When I learned the gospel, I put it and the Lord in my heart, and I decided to follow after Him, purposing in my heart to change my thinking. This leads to a change in the way that I live then. I will no longer live a life of sin, following my own worldly desires. I'll think about spiritual things, and I'll put them into practice in my life so that I will live a life pleasing to the Lord. So in the Bible, this change of mind and of life is called repentance. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Changing the way I live. We've talked about changing the way I think. And that leads us to this. So am I truly submitting to the Lord if I don't repent? No, I'm not. If I truly want to follow the Lord and be His disciple, put on the name of Christian and be able to go to heaven, I'll repent. And I'll do works befitting repentance, as we see over in Acts 26 and verse 20. This simply means that I'm obedient to the Lord, meeting the conditions He set forth in His plan of salvation, which I must follow if I want to have forgiveness of my sins through Christ. It means I'm trying to be pleasing to Him. And if I refuse to do those things, well, let's turn over to Romans 2. Romans 2, 5 and 6, and I would encourage you to go ahead and read these verses in the full context at home or whenever you get a chance. But in verses 5 and 6, we read, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." So, if we don't repent, we're in danger of judgment. Judgment of our deeds that we've not repented of. Paul told the Corinthians that godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. It's 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Turn now over to 1 John 3 and verse 7. John here says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous." So we understand we cannot save ourselves by our works, but we show that we are obedient to the Lord and we're willing to submit to Him and live pleasing to Him instead of our own desires. This goes along with something that Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 17. He says there, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" That is, God is holy. We need to be more like Him. Why should we repent and submit to the Lord? Why is it that I would want to change how I think and how I live? Why would I go through the pain of repenting of the sin in my life, admitting I've lived sinfully and done things against the Lord and against His will, separating me from Him? Why would the Lord ask me to do all of these things if He loves me and He wants me to be saved anyway? Won't He just forgive me and call it all good? Just tell me, "Hey, it's okay, we're good, don't worry about it. All those bad things you've done, I know you didn't really mean it." Well, because our God is a just God, it would be unjust and unfair to send everyone to heaven, even evil people. The Lord knows our hearts. He sees everything we do, and He demands that we live in submission to Him, showing obedience and living in accordance with His will. You see, if I love Him, I will keep His commandments, as John says over in John 14 and verse 15. It all goes back to the heart, my heart. Do I truly love Him? My life shows whether I love Him or not. I also love Him because He first loved me by sending Christ to be the propitiation for my sins. We see over in 1 John chapter 4. Let's turn now back over to Romans. Romans chapter 13. Let's read verses 12 through 14 of Romans 13. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Well, because I love God and I want to be pleasing to Him, I will cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We just read in verse 12 there, "I will walk properly as in the day, putting on Christ. And I'll make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." That's what we just read. "I will walk in light. I'll have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Let's turn over to Ephesians 5. This is a recurring theme. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11. Paul writes, "For you were once darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So Paul says, you were once darkness, now you're light. Walk as children of light. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's read verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then verses 24 and 25. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I'll walk in the Spirit and crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. I'll walk in newness of life, as we read in Romans 6 and verse 4. I'll turn over to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. Verses 19 through 21. And here John records Jesus speaking. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. We should be the light of the world. So we read over in Matthew 5 and verse 14. Our light should shine so that people may see our good works, or that we live godly lives in submission to the Lord and glorify our Father in heaven. Moving down to Matthew 5 and verse 16. People should be able to tell a difference between our old man, or the type of person we were before we became a Christian, versus after we became a Christian, our old man and our new man. They should be able to tell a difference. Turn over to Romans 6 and verse 6. Let's read Romans 6 verses 5 and 6. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So we need to get rid of that sin in our life. We've got to have a change in our life. And finally, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Paul here writes, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, there should be a difference between the old man of sin and the new man who's in Christ. You might say the difference should be night and day. Romans 8:13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Paul tells the Galatians that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 16. Why bother to repent and change how I live then? Why not just have faith if that's what justifies? Repentance is a condition of our salvation that we must obey. It's all about my heart. If I love him, I will submit to him. Now, move down to Galatians 2:19 and 20. Paul says he died to the law that he might live to God. And then he goes on to say that it is not he who lives, but Christ who lives in him. There in verse 20. If Christ lives in me, I won't make excuses for not doing what the Lord asks of me. I will have no qualms about doing His will, even if that means I have to change some things in my life. I now live by faith in Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The way that I live shows my love for Him and my commitment to Him through my submission to His will. We're familiar with Jesus, how He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for giving lip service to the Lord while their hearts were far from Him. Instead, they placed more importance on sort of their own rules and regulations that they had sort of added as addendums to the law over many years. A prime example is in Matthew 15. The Lord cares whether we actually do what He tells us to. It shows whether we truly love Him or not. Now, if you'll turn over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, and let's read verses 30 through 32 there. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. So the Lord tells Ezekiel that the people sit and listen to the words of God through him, through Ezekiel, his prophet. They even encourage one another, it sounds like, to go and to hear what Ezekiel has to say. The important point is that they do not do them. Why? Well, their hearts pursue their own gain. There's not been a change of life there. Their hearts did not truly belong to the Lord. They acted in the way that they thought would be pleasing, but their lives did not show the changes that the Lord expected. If they truly submitted to Him and loved Him as they should, we must be careful not to be guilty of the same thing. Lynn or any one of the men who gets up here and gives a lesson from time to time may present a lesson that can make us uncomfortable because it addresses an area I'm deficient in my life. This means I need to be thankful for that lesson, study the passages which have been presented and make the necessary changes in my life. I need to put my life aright with God's Word. What is the problem when I don't do that? Well, it's a heart problem. I've not submitted to the Lord and changed my thinking to be in harmony with His will so that I'm living a life pleasing to Him. The Lord doesn't take pleasure in the death of a wicked person. He wants people to repent and live. So we see in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to change. He wants us to repent. We know from Ezekiel 18 that the soul who sins shall die. Israel apparently thought the Lord was unfair in His judgment of their sinful ways. However, The Lord is just and fair in His judgment of people based on their deeds. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 18 and let's read verses 30 through 32 there, the end of that chapter. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So he says he'll judge everyone, this is in Israel in this context, according to their ways. He tells them to repent and turn from their sins. He implores them to get a new heart and a new spirit. Why? So they don't die. His message to Israel, turn and live. This message of repentance is embedded in the gospel, in our submission to the Lord. Without repenting and changing how we live, there is no true submission to the Lord. We can try to say all the right things and put on an act to try to convince others that we're Christians. It might fool some people, even if it fools all our friends and family here in this life. We can't fool God. Nothing is hidden from Him to whom we must give account. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Our goal is to go to heaven. We want eternal life with the Lord. We don't want to suffer the second death. John says in 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So that's what we need to do. We need to, in our lives, go about doing His will. Let's look now at some examples, some people who repented and changed their lives. People of Nineveh, when Jonah finally got to Nineveh and preached God's message that the city would be overthrown in 40 days, the people believed God and they fasted in sackcloth and ashes. You can find this story in Jonah 3, Jonah chapter 3. Even the king repented. The Lord even referenced the people of Nineveh who repented. Jesus said that they would condemn the unbelieving Jews, the generation that He was preaching to in His ministry, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Yet the Jews did not repent when the Lord Himself came and preached to them. Matthew 12, verse 41. Of course, Paul, who was called Saul, he was persecuting Christians before he came to know the Lord. We turn over to Acts 26. You can read about his conversion, one of his accounts of his conversion. Paul then repented. He submitted to the Lord. And he went about preaching the gospel. This angered the Jews so much that they seized him in the temple and they tried to kill him. But he continued preaching anyway. And we already referenced the multitude in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, who were cut to the heart and asked the apostles what they needed to do. Peter told them to repent, to be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of their sins in Acts chapter 2. Well, what about those who didn't repent? I think we can learn a lesson from those people too. The children of Israel, Numbers 13, they understood what a fruitful land, the promised land, was. But they only looked at the physical to judge whether they could conquer the people who lived there at the time. This is where our faith in the Lord comes into play. The people listened to the bad report of the 10 spies, the majority, who were afraid to go into the promised land and conquer it, not trusting that the Lord would be with them with His great power, as Joshua and Caleb implored. Then going back over to Acts again, Acts chapter 7, there was the mob who stoned Stephen. Well, they were cut to the heart too. But they refused to change anything. They didn't change their thinking. They didn't change their lives. They cast Stephen out of the city and they stoned him. You can contrast their attitude with those on the day of Pentecost who repented and obeyed the gospel. Which should we be like? My changed thinking affects how I live. I live to please the Lord, not myself anymore. So, that leads us to the question, what about me? So, is my heart pursuing its own gain, or does the Lord rule in my heart? Does it guide me how to live day by day? Does His will guide me, not my own will? If you've not yet submitted to the Lord and obeyed the conditions of salvation set forth in His Word by believing, repenting, confessing Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins and beginning to walk in newness of life, we invite you to do so now. The Lord's invitation is always open. If there are those present who find that they need to repent and change their thinking so that their lives reflect Christ and their obedience to Him and His Word, you may come now and ask for the prayers of the church and make that change in your life. The Lord wants our hearts, our lives, everything we have to give Him every day, not just during worship services. Let's work on being better servants of His and being more like Christ every day of our lives. If there are those who have a need, please let it be known while we stand and sing the song of invitation.